The following is a class given by His Holiness Jayapataka Swami Maharaj on January 26, 1982 in Malaysia. The class is on the Isa Upanishad Invocation Mantra.
Upanishad describes that the absolute truth is purnam, adha purnam idam, purnat purnam udachate, purnasya purnam evaya, purnam evavasishate. And from that supreme complete whole, other complete units are manifested, and each of those units is also complete in themselves. But they are dependent upon the original complete unit for their existence. Just like mother and father are both complete in form of having body, arms, limbs, and the child that they produce also is complete with all of those faculties. Of course, the Supreme Lord, His completeness is fully complete. That's why He's purnam, absolutely complete. Because in this world, to produce a child, help of wife is required for the man. And for the mother, the help of the man is required. But Krishna, in His Garbhodakshayi Vishnu form, you must have seen the picture or seen the murti here in South India, where the Lord is laying down and from His navel the lotus comes and Brahma Deva is born on that lotus. Where is Lakshmi? Lakshmi is there at the feet of Vishnu, massaging the feet. She was not necessary to give birth. He is complete in Himself. He can alone produce unlimited living entities without any help. You see, the ordinary living entities, they do not have that capacity. They require the help of someone else. Nonetheless, they're able to also give birth to complete units. So just as the Lord is complete, so this universe is also complete. He has made a perfect machine which will automatically run by itself with only a slight maintenance. For maintenance purpose, Krishna has come as Vishnu just to see that things go on. But He doesn't directly get involved. He stays in His managing director, rather you can say chairman's office, in the Kira Sindhu, or the ocean of milk. And if there's any difficulty, then the managing director, Brahma Dev, comes along with other demigods, assistant directors and sub-directors and secretaries of the firm, and they pray by that ocean of milk that for the chairman in chief, Vishnu, to come and straighten up the affairs, because they are not able to manage it at that point in a smooth way. So then, Kirudakshaya Vishnu comes down as one of His unlimited avatars, as Varaha Dev or Kurma or Matsya. Once in a day of Brahma, the chief from which the chief Himself, Krishna, comes down from the spiritual sky into this universe. Other avatars are coming simply from the expansion of Krishna, Kirodakshayi Vishnu. So, we are very fortunate to be here in this material world just after the the appearance of Lord Krishna. This is a very rare occasion. Those living entities who are present in the material world after the presence or during the presence, especially fortunate, of Lord Sri Krishna, they are able to transfer themselves easily back to the planet of Krishna. Other devotees of the different Narayana forms are only able to transfer themselves to the Vaikuntha lokas due to poor fund of knowledge about the transcendental personality of Krishna. Krishna is the original and confidential personality, and one can see the difference in Krishna's pastimes because of the varieties of loving affairs, the beautiful features of Krishna, the playing of the flute, as well as the exceptional and wonderful devotees which are surrounding Lord Sri Krishna's transcendental pastimes. So, although this world is created by Krishna through his expansions, he himself is aloof. His expansions are aloof. Things are going on in their own way, almost automatically. Therefore, although Lord Shiva is also the expansion of Krishna, because Lord Shiva is in touch with this material world, therefore his characteristic and his activity are slightly different. Although he is himself fully the expansion of Vishnu. So because of that slightly different characteristic, he is worshipped differently by different devotees. So Shiva, he can also be prayed to for getting a transcendental benediction or for getting the material benediction. Because Vishnu is primarily interested with liberating the souls in the material world. He is the only giver of liberation. This is also confirmed by Lord Shiva, that alone Vishnu gives liberation from the material world of birth and death. The bhava. Bhava means this world of birth and death. So Vishnu expands himself as bhava, Ishvara, Shiva, for the purpose of manifesting this material world. And therefore Lord Shiva is the chief of all the demigods. And he is the Maheshwara, or the great controller. So, some are approaching the different demigods as independent Ishwaras and getting benediction from them. But they should know it, that over everyone there is the Supreme Deity. And everything is within the purview of the controlling power of that Supreme Authority. Just like the chairman of so many companies. There may be chairman of each company in India, but over each state there is one chief minister. And over the country there is the supreme controller or the prime minister. Like that, over the whole material universe, you see, there is, in each universe there is the Kirudakshai Vishnu, but over all the material universes there is the Mahavishnu. But over all the material, spiritual universes, everything, in the topmost planet is Krishna. But he doesn't get involved in the management of affairs. Generally, he is simply delivering to the devotees his loving affection and his mercy. Krishna, you can say, is like the form of the Prime Minister while on vacation. And if Narayan is the form while in the office. So, Krishna is simply active in vacation. He's only enjoying himself and enjoying all of his devotees. So the devotees would rather spend the time in loving pastimes with Krishna while he's in his vacationing mood. And those who want to relate with him in his formal mood, in the office, or in his supreme powerful position, they approach as Narayan or Vishnu, in a mood of awe and reverence. Well, Krishna, they approach in a mood of servitude initially, but the aspiration is to be accepted as a friend, a parent, or a lover in the service of Krishna according to one's eternal relationship. So all these things are really confidential subject matters. And the great acharyas, like Madhva Acharya, Nimbarka, and Vishnu Swami, could understand the difference between Krishna and Narayana. Ramanuja Acharya, he could understand that Narayana and Vishnu is supreme above all other demigods, that he is the original and the absolute truth. So, all of these confidential subject matters have been given in the Vedas, but in time, in the eternal time, sometimes people could understand and sometimes they cannot understand all of the purports of the Vedas. Vedas contain so much information that there is an unlimited source of spiritual knowledge there. But not everyone upon reading the Veda will be able to get all of the purports. And no one can get all of the purports. Even Ananta Dev, with thousands and millions of heads, he cannot find the end to the glories of the Vedas and to the meanings of all the slokas and lessons in the Vedas. Because each lesson and each sloka and even each divine name is possessed of unlimited characteristics and qualities, because they are all transcendental. So, to understand these things, one has to be a devotee. Krishna says in Gita, Bhaktamam ami janati, that except for the devotee, no one else can know me. Unless one has got the favor of the Lord, it is not possible to know the secrets about the Lord. Just like an ordinary businessman, he'll never disclose his business secret to his competitors, will he? So if a person is competing with Krishna, like an asura, or he has a separate mood, then why Krishna will give him his confidential secrets? But if such a person is a pure devotee who has no separate interest, who has surrendered to Krishna's own existence and to Krishna's own interest, that whatever is your interest, Krishna, that is my interest. I have no separate interest. Then Krishna can in full confidence reveal secrets to him, because he will not misuse that knowledge. Others, they will not be able to comprehend, because Maya covers their intelligence from that confidential information. So, one should give up the competitive spirit with Krishna. Competitive spirit with other devotees is there only in a very warm and favorable way of trying to please Krishna more. Since the goal is to please Krishna, if another devotee is more successful in pleasing Krishna, then that devotee is not envied or spited in any way. Rather, he is appreciated that, oh, he has so nicely pleased Krishna. When will I be also able to please Krishna like that? But because Krishna is pleased, that also is satisfied even the devotee who may be defeated by a more excellent type of service. And then he is further enthused to increase his service and to increase the amount of happiness he is able to give to Krishna. The unusual thing is that in a business, of course, one is working for the firm, he gets back some salary or some percentage of profit in return. But in terms that we are part of Krishna, Mamayavamsa jiva logi jiva bhuta sanatana. When we serve Krishna and give him a little happiness even, a little pleasure, a little satisfaction over our humble but sincere effort to please him, even we're not able to do anything but that attempt or that desire to serve him alone is satisfying to the Lord. So when he achieves or when he is pleased by our attempt to satisfy him, then his happiness, because he's unlimited, just as it meant like the whole gold mine, we are just like a small particle of gold, a small ornament. So just like we are like a drop, you see, compared to the ocean. So like that, when in the ocean there's a huge tidal wave, or even a small wave, for the drop, it is a tidal wave. Even a ripple for a drop is like a tidal wave. So we are just like such a small fish or drop, and when that ocean of happiness even gets a ripple of happiness over our attempt to please him, for us, that is like an overwhelming flood of happiness. That's why the devotees, they experience an inconceivable ecstasy in love of Godhead while serving the Lord. Even the Kumaras, who had first of all realized the impersonal Brahman, when they had the darshan of Narayana, then their body, Kinjaluka, Tulasi, Misram, their bodies began to quiver when the scent of the Tulsi entered into their nostrils. The Tulsi which was offered the lotus feet of Lord Narayana, when they got that scent, their bodies started to quiver, their eyes were filled with tears, and they became stung with ecstasy. Then they could realize that the service of Vishnu or Narayana is a much higher happiness and a much higher level than the appreciation of the nirakar or impersonal aspect of his effulgence. So this Krishna conscious movement is distributing that highest happiness of life. This is such a rare thing. It is such a extremely high achievement that ordinarily even the great demigods, they are not able to get it. That's why it describes in the Bhagavatam that even the demigods are crying that why they are not able to take appearance in the Kali Yuga to participate in this movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, whereby in a few short years, 50, 60, 70 years, lifespan, within that time one is able to simply chant the name of Krishna and achieve this highest benediction of life. Kalo doshe nidhi rajan asti yaga mahan guna ki tunareva krishna siya mukti sangha parangvajet. So, this opportunity that we are getting as even insignificant human beings, the great demigods, they are very anxious to achieve. But since they have already taken their birth in the heavenly planets, then they have no opportunity to participate in this movement by human birth very easily. So, to become a devotee, it's not very difficult if one chants the name of Krishna. In the third canto of Bhagavatam, Kapila Avatar told his mother Devahuti that there are two types of devotees. Those who are materialistically contaminated and those who are pure devotees. Both of these devotees render devotional service. Of the materialistically contaminated devotees, there are three main categories, namely tamasic, rajasic, and sattvic. The devotees who are very angry, who are revengeful or vengeful, who are fault-finding and have a separatist envious type of attitude to other devotees, they are in the mode of ignorance. Their devotional service is mixed with the mode of ignorance. Therefore, they should be avoided. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that to offend the Vaishnava especially is the most dangerous activity. Sometimes devotees begin their devotional service, but certain devotees can be found who have this tinge of tamasic nature, where they are very critical, envious, even there's no fault, and there's maybe a slight glimpse of a fault in a devotee who's 99% completely faultless. Actually 100% faultless, but maybe something appears to be slightly like a fault. But such devotees who are mixed with tamagun, they will pick out and they will see that there is nil percent of anything good in such person, and will simply see that, oh, such a devotee is mentioned Chaitanya Charitamrita, that by chance he would be this type of devotee, that he would invite people to come to his house and take prasad. And then he would feed the sadhus, rather, invite the sadhu to take a prasadam. He would overfeed the sadhus, force them, take more. And after filling them up to here, then he would chastise them. You are not a sadhu, you have overeaten. Just see. Neither they wanted to eat so much, but he was forcing by hospitality. But then it was over, then he criticized. They are not real sadhu, they are glutton, overeating. Such devotee there was in Chaitanya Charitamrita. So that other devotee was really afraid of him. That he would insist you have to accept his invitation. But if you accepted his invitation, then no doubt you'd only be criticized in this way. So it was a very critical, because also he was a senior devotee, he was older devotee, but his nature was very peculiar like that. His name was Ramachandra Puri. Because he became so critical, Lord Chaitanya, he stopped eating and only just ate a handful of 1/8 of the ordinary amount, because he just became, alright, he's criticizing, I won't take anything, just give me that much. And all the devotees were going just mad, that why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not eating anything, is that they began to detest that Ramchandra Puri, that he has come here and our Lord now is practically fasting because of all these criticisms and this, that. One day Ramchandra Puri came in the house of Lord Chaitanya. He couldn't find anything wrong with Lord Chaitanya. You see, so, but he was looking, he saw some 4 or 5 ants walking across the floor. He said, aha! You call yourself a sannyasi? Their answer, you must be eating sweets in secret way. You are not a real sannyasi, you are a sweet monger. You see. So then, somehow after that, he left that Ramchandra Puri, and everyone felt a great relief that type of devotee had gone. So like that, sometimes a certain devotee is there, appears to be advanced or older type of devotee, but he may be such type of person that picks out any little excuse to find a fault with others. And that is very disturbing to the devotees, but out of politeness they may tolerate, or alright, he's an older person, let him, you see, somehow. But actually it's recommended by Kapila Muni, one should avoid such type of devotee, because to hear their type of statements are very detrimental for one's spiritual life. Even Lord Chaitanya said one should avoid those devotees. There, we offer them respect in our hearts, because somehow or another they have accepted that Vishnu, that Krishna is the topmost, samam bonam, goal of life. But they still have got some tamasic influence upon their mentality. So we avoid their association and try to keep at a distance. Then, the other type of materialistically influenced devotee is that devotee influenced by the mode of rajas or passion. They are not so bad, but that devotee influenced by the mode of passion, he's also got some type of separate feeling from the Lord, because through his devotional service, he wants to get some recognition from other people that he is a great devotee or that he is very expert. And so in this way he wants either some recognition or he wants some type of benefit from that devotional service, some improvement in his material situation. So, of course, one can get all this from devotional service, no doubt. One can get swarga, one can get siddhi. But to desire this type of thing and not just depend upon the mercy of the Lord, that is also a type of influence of the mode of passion. So that's the second type of materialistically influenced devotee. The third main category of material influence is sattva guna. Those devotees who are influenced by sattva guna, they are performing pujas very carefully and different rules of varnasram dharma, and they want to get mukti or moksha from their devotional activities. So that desire for moksha, independent of the pure service of Krishna, is also a type of materialistic viewpoint. It is not the platform of pure prema or love. So that is the influence of the sattva guna. So these three main categories can be further subdivided into nine categories because there is sravana, kirtana, smarana, vandana, pada sevana, dasya, sakya, atma, nivedana. Hearing, chanting, remembering, offering prayers, bowing down before the Lord, serving the Lord is feet of the Lord, being a servant of the Lord, offering worship to the Lord, being a servant of the Lord, being a friend of the Lord, and complete surrender. So these nine practices of devotional service, when mixed with these three main categories of material contamination, make 21. Hearing in goodness, hearing in passion, hearing in ignorance, in devotional service. Speaking in goodness like that. So then, each of those can be further subdivided into the three again. Hearing in goodness with a slight tamasic influence, hearing in goodness with a slight rajasic influence, hearing in goodness with a slight superlative sattvic influence, like that. So in this way, you get 81 subdivisions of material contaminations. Of course, then you can go on subdividing, but you can say that principle and then sub and then subdivisions like that, it goes down. So, the pure devotional service, that is of a different nature. What is that? Vasudeve bhagavati bhakti yoga prayochito chanayat vyasu vairagam jnanam yata sahitukam savaipam sanga paro dharmo yato bhakti rahokhaja ahaitu kyapatita yayatma supersedati. The pure devotional service is that devotional service which is ahaituki. There is no material cause, neither a tamasic cause of some angry mood, neither a cause of some material direct result, not a cause of getting liberation or their various variations. But that is the causeless. To serve the Lord, let Him be pleased by the service, let the greatest good be done by His mercy. Then, that ahaituki bhakti should also be a pratihata. A pratihata means that there is no break, no cessation. Today I am doing, then I stop. Then I do something else. Then again I start. Like that. No, this should be a type of a regular, unbroken link. That's why we encourage people to chant a fixed number every day. That keeps the day by day the sequence, the unbroken nature. Also, someday we worship Krishna, another day we think that we worship Shiva as independent, or we worship another demigod as independent. Even a devotee of Krishna sometimes worships the demigod knowing that they are great devotees of the Lord and that they can give some benediction for the service of Krishna. But they don't see such demigods as independent. They know that they are expansion or the servant like that. just like a director in a company, or sometimes you might go to a minister rather than go to the prime minister, because we just need that particular department's facility. But the prime minister, he gives the order that any department is obliged, they have to do it. So we don't know, we don't think that the ministers are become prime ministers. We know that only one prime minister is there, and other various deputy prime and subsequent minister, state minister, deputy minister, they're all there in the government administration. Similarly, the universal administration, there's only one prime minister. Deputy ministers, there's three, you can say, Brahma, Shiva, and the expansion Vishnu. Chief Prime Minister, Chief Deputy Minister is there, or you can say Prime Minister and two deputies, whichever way you like to use the analogy, and the President is using the friend system, is Krishna. In any case, all the other demigods are like Indra is like a minister, and the other similar category of minister, and other junior deputy minister, and so on. So like that, one doesn't take any demigod to be independent. If you worship a demigod as independent, then that's also a break in the devotional service. So when there's a causeless and unbroken devotional service, then the yatma supersedati, the atma becomes supersedati, that can be completely satisfied. Atma means mind, means soul, mind and body. Three things are described in the Vedic dictionary. So when the spiritual happiness, spiritual satisfaction is given, atma supersedati, that also satisfies the mind, satisfies the body. So to prove to the world that the Pandavas were pure devotees, that they didn't have any material desire, he put them through great tests. Krishna doesn't have to put one through great tests. Sometimes he doesn't put the devotee through such great tests. You see, it's like Vipra-Sudama was very poor. That was a test. But Krishna put him through a little test when he went to Dwarka. Vipra-Sudama could have asked Krishna to give me some money. My wife is all the time bothering me for money, for this, for that. But Vipra-Sudama, he gave Krishna just some chira. He couldn't ask for anything. Yesterday we had some of that preparation, that type of chira. What do we call it?
Metaka pava. Pava is that.
Yes. Anyway, the pava.
Pava.
Oh, I don't know if there was metaka, but at least he gave the poa. He was very poor. He might not have afforded any potato. But at least he gave the rice, the chira, the poa. One. So that was so satisfying to Krishna because it was given by a pure devotee that he gave him unlimited fortune. When he came back, but he couldn't ask Krishna for anything. But that was the proof that Krishna wanted to show everyone. That his pure devotee actually doesn't ask Krishna for anything, but Krishna himself provides. So Krishna gave unlimited palatial buildings and servants and everything to his devotee. But so what he used, that he made a beautiful arrangement for Krishna's puja and for glorifying Krishna with all those facilities. So that type of pure devotee doesn't become enamored by some opulence and forget about the Lord. Sometimes the devotees of Lord Shiva, they get some boon from Shiva and they forget Shiva. So Krishna doesn't give that type of blessing ordinarily to his devotee whereby they'll forget him. Otherwise, what is the use? Just like that one Vittasura, he got a boon to take off the head of anyone. Next thing he wanted to take off the head of Shiva. What is the fun? He's worshipping Shiva and then he gets the boon and then Shiva himself he wants to kill. So like that, Vishnu is not in the habit of giving such type of boon. So he gives such type of boon in his form as Shiva, but not in his original form. Just like a Mother, if the child says, give me one knife, I want to play. No, I won't give you a knife, you'll cut yourself. No, I won't want to play. No, I won't give you. No, I just want to play. I want to sharpen my finger. No, you go away. Crazy. You don't know this. You see, that way, if we ask something from Krishna that's not really good for us, then somehow he has to get us that idea out of our head. So he might just show us that this is a bad idea. It's a token. And then we know, oh, why did I want that thing? But he'll do it in such a way, or fulfill the desire in such a way, we learn from that not to desire this type of useless things. But in that way, many people, they know that. So they prefer to worship directly Shiva or some demigod, Kartikeya, Subramanyam, other, to get some immediate benefit without consideration. They don't consider good or bad, you just give this to me. So those demigods, they're usually not so much concerned with what is the future. Neither all of them have all that three kal again. Of course, Lord Shiva does, but he also doesn't usually get involved. He tells them, why do you want such a thing? It's useless, it causes trouble. No, you must give it, all right, take it. Then they cause trouble, but that's his nature, Ashutosh, if you can easily give. So that way, people are preferring the demigods, because they know they can get some easy result. Even the Vaishnava kings, they would worship demigods as part of Krishna for the maintenance of their kingdom. You see. But they would keep as their ultimate objective achieving the favor of Krishna and pure devotion. And those who don't have any other objective but pure devotion of Krishna, and they want to use everything they have, their family, their establishment, whatever it may be, to promote that type of satisfaction to Krishna, that devotion to Krishna, then you see they get the complete shelter of Krishna. So that shelter of Krishna means they come completely satisfied. They get a relief from all type of misery and all type of difficulties. So Krishna also showed that to the Pandavas. He put them in different difficulty. But they could have asked him, give me this, give me that. But they weren't asking. They're only asking Krishna that they want to continue serving him and like that. And so as a result, Krishna would always come and protect them. And ultimately, he established him on top of the kingdom of the whole world as the Samrat or Emperor. So sometimes, in Krishna's great devotees, he gives some tests to just to show them whether they have faith or not. To show others that just see, even difficulty came. Just think of our great Drupadi. Drupadi is actually a symbol of heroism and devotion, chivalry amongst the women in our Vedic history. When she was taken in the courtroom of the Kurus and was tried to be stripped naked, and her chastity was to be insulted, even in an assembly of great heroes, she simply took shelter in Krishna. Hey Krishna, and Krishna protected her by giving unlimited sari. But even though she was such a great devotee, by Aswatthama was able to come and kill her 5 children while sleeping in bed, cutting off their head. Even Duryodhana and others, they hated that activity. They couldn't believe that such a heinous act was done by Aswatthama. They were also not pleased. It was so bad. But think that although she was such a great devotee, such a great test was given to her own children were killed. But she never once lost faith in Krishna. She never lost faith or devotion in Krishna. Even though such a test was done, she had such a pure devotion that even when Aswatthama was brought to her that here is that culprit, Arjuna brought, now I'm going to cut off his head and you can stand on it and do abhishek in his blood. He's the son of our guru, Dronacharya. He made some mistake. Why? I was mother, I'm suffering. Why should another mother suffer? Like that, she had such a sentiment. Of course, Krishna, he wouldn't let him go by. No, he did such a heinous act. You cut off his hair, you cut off that jewel, and this way he'll die, but he'll be alive. Asutama now is in Himalaya doing tapasya. After this Kali Yuga, he'll come down and he'll be part of the contingent which will establish the Satya Yuga. He's now in Samadhi in the Himalaya mountains, according to the Veda Shastra. So like that, sometimes a great test is done. So those devotees, they come down from spiritual, just to show that even in the greatest test, they don't lose faith. And Krishna protects. Even those children died, there is also so many curses and things involved that they came there for a particular purpose, like that they were killed, then they were transferred back and they all got mukti. But all those things are very confidential matters described in a very hidden way in the Vedas. So if something like that happens, someone is sick or someone gets killed, that also, there, everything that happens like that to the devotee, one can know it, that it must be for the good. Just like the six brothers of Krishna that were killed, those are all also the Ratnagarbhas, or the particular demigods who were cursed to take that, but because they are born as Krishna's brothers, they also received the highest benediction. So like that, sometimes one is born in a certain way and suddenly some accident or some suffering comes. Sometimes even a devotee's child leaves the world. That may also be because he's already, by hearing the holy name and having some prasad, he's already finished up his karmas, he's gone back to Krishna. No need to stay for more time. So this life here, of course, you know, all dependent. None of us have independence. We can't say what's going to happen. We try to carry out our duty and go on in our service, keeping our faith to Krishna. But what happens ultimately, he's the supreme authority. Man proposes, God disposes. He may propose some plan for his satisfaction, but along the way he may decide to give us any benediction that we have to take without losing faith in him. And know that apart from his mercy and the devotee's mercy, there's no other recourse. So in this way, the devotee very quickly finishes up his business. All the previous karmas are burnt out. They're all burnt out. And then one is simply left as a pure soul. And so then it's very easy to achieve that eternal association of the Lord. So we hope that people try to understand the science of devotional service, science of spiritual life. It is a great science. And with a little bit of care and attention and determination, it is very easy to achieve perfection in this life. That is the assurance of all the shastras. Simply, we can achieve it if we stick to the process of chanting the name of Hari. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama.